Welcome to the audiobook, How to Live Your Passions Every Day. What if you could live this life? Picture this. From the moment your eyes open in the morning until they shut at night, everything you do, everything, is something you're passionate about, something that excites you, that energizes you, that lights the fire in your belly. And everything else that still needs to be done, but you're not passionate about, well, you find somebody else to do it. Maybe you hire it done or trade services, or you just ask a favor that you'll pay back later. But no matter how you do it, you get it off your plate and onto someone else's, preferably someone who is passionate about it, so it too is done with excellence, leaving for you only the things you are passionate about. Now, how would you like that life? You think it's impossible? Well, I did too until I figured out how to do it. Hi, I'm Rick Hocek, president of Soar with Eagles. I help ambitious leaders and teams to be successful, self-motivated achievers. And right now, I'm going to reveal to you in this audiobook exactly how I did it for me and how you can do it for you. I did it for myself back in the 1980s, so I've enjoyed more than 30 years of living a life of total passion. I'm the walking proof that it's possible and sustainable. To create this audiobook, I was interviewed by David Wright, president and CEO of Insight Publishing. So it's a question and answer format. So sit back and enjoy How to Live Your Passions Every Day.
Today we're talking to Rick Hocek. Rick's singular company purpose is to provide high-octane, world-class strategic planning systems for business and life, helping Top Gun leaders, teams, and individuals to succeed on purpose most of the time, rather than by accident some of the time. He does this four primary ways: facilitating his power planning, strategic planning retreats for small and mid-sized companies, leading his passion planning workshops for ambitious individuals on personal life planning and goal setting, delivering high energy motivational keynotes, and one-on-one success coaching. He has coached entrepreneurs, CEOs, presidents, and senior executives for over 10 years and is former president of Ross Roy Advertising, an Atlanta ad agency and division of the $700 million Ross Roy Group. A University of Missouri graduate, he is a member of the National Speakers Association and has been recognized in Who's Who among U.S. executives and Who's Who in Georgia. Rick is married and passionately devoted to his soulmate, adores his awesome grown twins, and has four fanatical life passions: his family, his personal health and fitness, helping others prosper through his business and friendships, and playing competitive baseball on a traveling men's team. Rick, welcome to Conversations on Success.
Thank you, David. My pleasure to be here.
Passion seems to be a real trigger for you in the success equation. What makes it so important?
Well, not just for me, for everyone, and not just important. In my mind, it may be the most important component of success, and for a simple reason. It seems to drive all the other components. When passion for an activity, a task, a goal, a project, a plan, or any undertaking is high, other pieces seem to fall into place more easily. There just seems to be no substitute for enthusiasm and excitement in any human endeavor. In fact, I'm a sucker for passion. Show me someone with passion for what they do, and I'll take that over skill every time. Skill can be taught. Passion can only come from within. Here's an interesting fact that points to a disturbing lack of passion. In the United States, many studies by the top research firms have repeatedly shown that about 60 to 70% of U.S. workers, blue-collar and white, up and down the line, don't like their jobs. Now, let me say that again a different way. Two-thirds of American workers have no passion for what they do 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 50 weeks a year. And we wonder why customer service is so atrocious and why productivity is down and why many employees have lethargic, I-don't-care attitudes. It's no mystery, and I don't blame the companies for this. Yes, leaders have their faults, and yes, those faults have a trickle-down effect. But come on, two-thirds of the American workforce? That's outrageously high. I place the blame squarely on the shoulders of the two-thirds of the American workforce, those people themselves. I mean, let's get real. Who's holding a gun to their heads, forcing them to be miserable? No one. It's largely self-inflicted. misery is a choice, and so is happiness, by the way. And this isn't just an on-the-job issue. The high divorce rate suggests that it's also an off-the-job relationship issue. And it probably extends beyond that to parenting, friendships, personal hobbies and interests. If you're in that big block of people who don't like their jobs or their relationships or their life in general, and like many, you're doing little or nothing to improve it, change it, fix it, or get out of it, then you need to take ownership for your misery and take action. When you give up control of your own happiness, you fall prey to the unhappiness of other people and situations around you. It's time to wake up, take control, and stop being a victim. Now, those will be harsh words to some, but no one said the truth will always be easy to swallow.
Okay, so what's the answer? What do you suggest someone should do who's stuck on the treadmill of an unfulfilling job, or bad relationship, or a lackluster life?
Simple. Find your passions and live them every single day. My twins will tell you they grew up hearing that from me ad nauseum. It was my primary theme as a father. The good news is at 23, they both have clear passions and they do live them every day. You have a couple of choices. You can A, figure out what you're passionate about and go do that, or B, get passionate about what you're already doing and do it with more juice, more electricity, more pizzazz. And don't discount that second choice. Many people are already in their fields of passion. They just don't know it.
Hmm. So specifically, how does someone figure out what their passions are?
Well, here's a great way. Let's start with a definition of a passion. Not a loose, weak dictionary definition. I mean something with real teeth and bite, something specific and measurable. Here are the 3 points I use for defining a passion for myself. One, a passion to me is something I love so much, I will make time for it. I'll create time for it when no time exists. I'll rearrange my calendar. I'll cancel other things. I'll stop what I'm doing. I'll divert my attention. A passion is so joyously consuming to me that it commands my full focus, and I jealously protect my time for it, enough to make time for it. So, to discover your passions, ask yourself, what are the things in my life I already seem to make time for that I make no lame excuses about why I can't? I simply find a way. Things for which I push other activities aside and tune out other distractions. Whatever they are, they could be your passions. Two, a passion is something I love so much, I'm willing to commit time, energy, and money in the pursuit of being the best I can be at it. Mediocrity is not an option. Excellence is the only acceptable standard for a passion. I will read books, listen to tapes, go to class. I'll attend workshops, practice with a coach. I'll spend quality time learning and rehearsing, seeking new knowledge, growing and developing to be better today than I was yesterday. And this commitment to improve is ongoing and never-ending. It has no finish line. As long as it's a passion, my drive to improve on it is nonstop. I never accept that I know enough. School is always in session for a passion. So, to discover your passions, ask yourself, what are the things in my life I already seem to approach with a consuming obsession to be great, to be the absolute best I can, the things I seem to spend time and money on in the pursuit of new knowledge and constant improvement? Whatever those are, they could be your passions. And third, a passion to me is something I love so much that I feel a great pain when I don't or can't do numbers 1 and 2. There's a gross feeling of loss, a void, a hollow emptiness in the pit of my stomach for not making time for my passions or for slacking off on excellence. It's unforgiving. It's unnerving. I even get angry with myself for neglecting something I know is so crucial to my happiness. So, to discover your passions, ask yourself, what are the things in my life that I most hate to miss that give me a feeling of restlessness and painful regret when I'm unable to spend time doing them, that really anger me when I'm not able to do them well or perform them to my full potential, and just generally make me nuts when time or excellence aren't possible? Whatever they are, they could be your passions. That's it. Those are the 3 points that define a passion for me. Get clear on that short list of things in your life that you love that much that fit those three and pursue them vigorously in every waking moment. And watch your negative attitude reverse and jump merrily off the charts on the plus side.
So what about you? What are your passions?
Well, I have 4, and they all fit those three definition points to a T. It's important, I think, to write them down in an action format, like a command to yourself. Here mine are in priority order. First is my full family, everyone in it. And the highest family priority needs to be my wife and two kids, because taking care of my immediate family is, in my belief system, a man's first obligation. So my first passion, as it appears in writing, is be a loving husband and father. That's a command to myself on how I want to be for my wife, Robbie, and my adult kids, Chip and Val. I mean, treat them like gold. Listen to them with focused attention. Be important in their lives and remind them constantly how important they are in mine. Celebrate their achievements and celebrate often. Be present at important moments in their lives. Tell them several times a day, if possible, how much I love them. Let them hear it in my voice and see it in my eyes. No empty words. I have to mean it. Most important, make sure that my behavior matches my words. Nothing is more out of whack than someone who says one thing and does another. Actions must match words, or the words will become meaningless and never listened to again. That's called being out of integrity, when your actions belie your words, and in my value system, that's a high crime. Next in importance is my own personal health and fitness. So my second passion, as it appears in writing, is be healthy, fit, and trim. Again, that's my command to myself. So I have a rigorous nutritional plan and exercise and fitness rituals. The nutritional piece includes several protein shakes daily in lieu of hard meals, plus staying true to a list of healthy foods that keep weight and blood pressure, cholesterol and resting heart rate, triglycerides and other health measures in check. Fitness-wise, I've been an exercise junkie since high school, and I combine aerobics with weight training. And on top of all that, I get a full-scale physical every year in my birthday month, which I've done for the last 18 years. And with all that attention, my health measures have improved over time. So I'm getting healthier as I get older. It's not only possible, it's happening, and I'm living proof. Now, yes, I know, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow, but I'm doing what I can to control the things I can control. What's more, I love doing all of it. Staying healthy, fit, and trim is just not a chore for me. I love it, and I feel horrible when I get off track. I'm 52 years old, and I've been focused on my health since I was 17. This passion ain't going away. Mm. Next in importance is what I do for a living and keeping close friendships intact. So my third passion is help others prosper through my business and friendships. I created my own business and hung up my shingle when I was 40. Before that, in my mid-30s, I got crystal clear on my life mission, my core purpose, which is to help ambitious, self-motivated people do, be, and have everything they want, and I built a business on that concept. Now everything I do in my business life supports that mission, or I just flat don't do it. Every service I offer and every product I sell fits that mission. Doing this interview fits that mission because it's on a subject designed to help achievement-oriented people improve their lives. I'm not kidding myself. This interview will have no appeal whatsoever to low achievers, and I'm just peachy with that. It's for go-getters. Maintaining important friendships are also a passion for me. People from my business life, from my college fraternity days, from sports teams I've played on, and so on. They form a nucleus of relationships that I love, and I don't pass up many chances to spend time with true friends or to reconnect with old acquaintances from days of yore. I approach both my business and friendships with a zeal. Some would call me a workaholic, but I prefer to call it a passionaholic. It's not work to me. What I do is pure joy. It's a labor of love. Next in importance to me is playing baseball. Starting at 7 years old, all I ever wanted to do was play in the big leagues. I played organized ball all my life, and when I was 18, I tried out for a pro team, and I had a good tryout, but nothing came of it, and though it was hugely disappointing at the time, I was determined to make it a catalyst for not letting other big fish get away rather than letting it get me down and sabotage other opportunities. After years of playing both competitive and beer league softball through my 20s and 30s, men's senior baseball leagues started forming in the late 80s, and I joined a team in the early 90s. And I haven't stopped playing since. It's fabulous to be back on the field at my age, still playing with guys who can pitch and hit and field. I'm still stealing bases, still laying down bunts and beating them out, and still turning double plays, playing competitively and playing to win. And yes, putting on the uniform still sends a chill up my spine, just like when I was 7. So my fourth passion is excel at and enjoy playing baseball. Now, that's a twofold passion, play well and love it. And to that end, I hired a great local hitting coach, Howie McCann, who played in the Phillies organization, to work with me on technique. Last year, I even asked him to teach me to hit left-handed. I always wanted to be a switch hitter, and with his help, it's happening. My point is that I'm spending time, energy, and money to be the best I can. If or when age or injury causes my level of play to deteriorate to where I can't compete at my desired level, to where I can't play my style of game, or worse, to where I embarrass myself, I'll hang up my spikes in a heartbeat with no regrets. I will have had a great run, and I'll be grateful for every exciting minute I stood on a ball field. But if I can't play well, I will leave. Remember, baseball is one of my passions. Subpar play is simply unacceptable to me. Mediocrity is not in the cards. But guess what? When it happens, and it will, I won't sulk over it. I'll just take up another sport and pursue it with the same zeal and passion, probably golf.
You do in-company workshops on passion, clarity, life goal setting, and winner behavior. What do people tell you are the chief reasons for or biggest causes of frustration toward their own personal achievement?
Answers I hear floor me. Specifically in my workshops, I ask, what derails you from enjoying your life passions or roadblocks you from achieving your goals? I frequently hear reasons like, my kids take up so much time, they're into so many activities, or I need to spend time with my wife, or I'm so busy at work, I seldom have the time and energy to do anything else. Hey, whatever happened to your spouse, your kids, and your job actually being your passions? They're not your default positions. They're the key elements in your life. You chose to be married. You chose to be a parent. And you chose that industry and that company. That's disturbing to me. While I'm not attempting to select other people's passions for them, certainly I don't have that right, it strikes me that too many people are only considering a passion as something to be enjoyed without their family or outside of their job. That's wrong. Passions can and should involve all areas and all facets of life.
Let's take this a bit deeper. If someone wanted to figure out how to make money or make a living with their passion, what advice would you offer on how to go about it?
Well, here's what I would suggest. First, put yourself to the test mentioned earlier, focusing on the three definition points of a passion to help you flush out things you make time for, that you're only willing to be excellent at, and that give you a sinking feeling of loss when you don't do them. Second, decide if you want to work for yourself as an entrepreneur or work for someone else. Both have their advantages and disadvantages, and you'll gain nothing by not being brutally honest with yourself. Being in business for yourself offers many wonderful benefits, but it's not for everyone, and it never will be. It involves substantial financial and emotional risk. Absolutely do not feel bad or inadequate if you decide your life is better spent in service to another who is willing to take those financial risks that you're not. Either one, owner or employee, is a noble choice. Decide. Third, no matter which you answer to the last question, ask yourself these questions. Do I prefer a white-collar environment or blue? Where do I wish to live? What business hours do I most like, regular or flexible, weekday or nights and weekends? What are my driving limitations to and from work? Is out-of-town travel okay? Do I have a preference or requirement for a business location, like an office building near my home or in my home, or does it matter? Do I enjoy lots of people interaction, or do I prefer relative solitude? Am I willing to take on assets and inventory, machinery or equipment? Do I prefer a service or a product business? Manufacturing? Do I have a preference for an international, national, a regional, or a local type of business? Do I most enjoy working with customers who are white-collar or blue, or does it matter? Do I prefer working with any particular type of customer, like higher or lower income? Do I enjoy having direct customer contact, indirect, or none at all? What income requirements do I have? Do I prefer a startup or a mature company? Do I want a partner or to be solo? How much financial risk am I willing to endure? How much decision-making authority do I want? How much autonomy in my position do I require for maximum effectiveness? How important is spending time with my spouse, my kids, and other relatives and personal activities? Am I driven to one day be president of the business? Or am I completely satisfied to just be a contributing member of the team? Do I enjoy being a deal maker or behind the scenes? Do I thrive on being in the limelight or not? Does the business fit with my personal life mission and purpose? Does it fit with my core values? Well, those are just some of the questions that anyone should ask themselves when approaching the business world, whether as owner or employee. And your answers should help you get a handle on what best suits you. A fourth consideration is to undergo professional career counseling to determine the field of endeavor most suited for your personality, your level of drive, your lifestyle choices, and so on. You would take a battery of tests. They would be evaluated by a trained professional, and it can be very enlightening. Every element of information that these different methods give you will help to fill in another piece of your passion jigsaw puzzle. Lastly, ask yourself, armed with all this information, what business does all of it describe? What industry or business category is defined by the characteristics I've listed? Then sit back and let it incubate in your mind. It may take days, weeks, or months. Be patient, it'll come to you. The human brain is the world's most sophisticated processing computer. Quality information in, quality answer out.
It seems you did this for yourself. You said your business is one of your four life passions. Tell our readers how you walked your journey.
Well, it is exactly what I did. I left college all hot and bothered to be successful in the advertising business and to one day run an ad agency. But I made a commitment to myself at age 21 to exit the industry by my 40th birthday because it's a rat race business and I didn't want to be a burned out 50-year-old ad guy in poor health, heavy smoker and drinker with a heart attack and four marriages under my belt and too little to show for it. Now that sounds harsh, but in the early 70s when I graduated from college, that was a reasonably accurate picture of the future. And I wanted none of those things. But I did want every good thing the industry had to offer, and they too were plentiful. When I was 34, I got an opportunity to be president of an Atlanta agency, ran it profitably for 6 years, and true to plan, exited on my own terms 6 weeks after my 40th birthday. Now, here's how I figured out what my next business would be and how I made sure it was a passion. In my mid-30s, knowing I was going to leave and knowing I now had a drive to be an entrepreneur owning my own business, I started soul-searching for my next career, and I put myself through the same battery of deep, under-the-skin questions I mentioned earlier. I meticulously wrote down all my answers and reviewed them often. After letting them sink in and noodle around in my brain for weeks, frustrated that no brilliant answers had yet popped into my head, it suddenly hit me. I realized that what I enjoyed most was not the advertising itself. It was a combination of things, like helping other people realize their best work, providing an environment where they performed better than they had thought possible, seeing a client's eyes light up when presented with great work, even when it was created by others and not me, watching a proud smile on someone's face who knew he or she had just done something spectacular. That was my epiphany. I knew that whatever I did, it had to help other ambitious people be the best they could be and enjoy their victories. Their success would be my success. That is what floated my boat and electrified me with excitement above all other things. It's what gave me the greatest joy. Further, I realized the same feeling of fulfillment came over me as a father and mentor to my own kids through all their years growing up. Then it got even bigger as I realized it was also my greatest joy as a coach of youth baseball, teaching ambitious kids the fundamentals of the game, watching them grow and develop, and seeing their faces turn to bright smiles when they did well. Now I knew I had something. All the pieces were coming together. I just had to find the business that let me do that every single day. And then I realized every business offered that opportunity, not just the ad business. So my industry options suddenly became limitless. But that's when the biggest idea of all hit me right between the eyes. Helping people be the best they could be was an industry all by itself, the self-improvement industry. I could lead workshops, give speeches, do training. I could lead strategic planning retreats for companies, write books, record tapes. I could coach winners, and on and on and on. I had finally found my next business, the one I could do passionately from sunup to sundown and beyond, from eyes open in the morning to eyes shut at night. I named my company Soar with Eagles because that phrase became my mantra for what I did for myself and what I would help others do for themselves. Be the best they could be, go for the gold, and reach for the stars. And that's how Soar with Eagles Enterprises was born. To this day, I am totally in love with everything I do in my business, Every action I take, big or small, leads me to the eventuality of helping ambitious, self-motivated people be their absolute best. That, by the way, is also my life mission. Get the connection?
So what do you say to people who would argue, that sounds all well and good, it worked for you and maybe it worked for others, but this is the way I am and I can't change? You know, leopards don't change their spots. My life isn't working and all those fancy ideas won't do anything for me.
I would say with conviction that believing you can't change is a bunch of hogwash. It's a lame, senseless excuse, nothing more or less. It is victim mentality. It's believing everything happens to you without any approval or say on your part and feeling you have control over nothing. But here's the reality. Unlike leopards and all other animals, human beings were given the power of analytical thought and the ability to examine multiple options. And living in the free world, we also have the right to choose and make changes. Few things are forced upon us except reasonable laws of a civilized society. So with all of that working in your favor, to say you can't do something is to give up. It's to throw in the towel. It's to relinquish your own personal power, to give up control to other people and circumstances. It's to choose failure over success. Get real. Take back control of your life and start making your own choices. Get off your butt and swing into action. If it's not working, change it. Or live with it and shut up about it. I just have a low tolerance for whiners, moaners, and complainers who are doing nothing to fix what's broken. The ideas I've discussed here will absolutely work for anyone who believes they can work for them and who will take action on them. Now, having said that, if you want to prove me wrong, it's easy. Just continue to believe this passion thing is all a pile of hooey, do nothing with it, stay stuck in your boring misery, maintain your belief that your life can't change because you have no control over it, and watch your pathetic existence continue just as you predicted. And boy, will I have egg all over my face.
Okay, but you must have hit a few brick walls that made you want to turn back, leave the high-risk entrepreneurial world, and return to the relative security of corporate life. So how did you cope with those fears and feelings when the sky seemed to be falling?
Oh, sure. No plan ever survives its collision course with reality. Why should mine be different? I hit lots of brick walls. I had plenty of doubts, and it got real scary now and then, especially with a wife, two kids, two cars, and a mortgage. But there were several things that kept me on course. First was the realization that there were plenty of brick walls in the corporate world, too. So if I went back, I would just be trading one set of problems for another. It wasn't like returning to corporate life offered any success guarantees. The only guarantee was my own perseverance, and I totally controlled that, whether I was an employee or an owner. No matter what side of the fence you're on, the grass always looks greener on the other side, but when you get there, it never is. Keeping that in mind brought me back to center and made me stay the course as an entrepreneur. Second, was even bigger. Each time I had doubts, I asked myself, what was I so passionate about that I would return to corporate life and do? And not surprisingly, when I asked the passion questions, I always got the same answers I had the first time, which reaffirmed that being an entrepreneur in the self-improvement industry was where my heart was. So why change if I couldn't improve on what I had started to build? Third was a queasy feeling that going back was a slimy admission of failure, and frankly, I just couldn't live with myself on that one. But the fourth one, that was my trump card. Before I had left the ad agency, in preparation for things going haywire and facing the temptation to throw in the towel and return, I sat down one day and wrote out a list of all the things I hated about the advertising business. This was the hardest thing I ever did because I loved it so much. But there are two sides to every coin, so I came up with quite a powerful list. I did that because it was my way of burning my own ships, as Cortez did to force his men to fight against greater numbers and prevent them from retreating. I knew that if I ever got desperate for a paycheck, I could pull out that list and remind myself of all the reasons I promised never to return. The good news is it never got so bad that I had to pull it out. And to this day, I've never reread it and don't plan to ever do it. But had the roof caved in, it was in my wallet, my final line of defense, ready if called upon.
So what other advice do you have to help people get past the blahs and dig deeply into their passions?
Well, a few little things, like quit being a clock watcher. Not because time is unimportant, but because counting down the minutes until you can quit doing what you're doing is admitting you're engaged in a heinous non-passion. Figure out what brings you joy about what you're doing and focus on that. Who cares how much time is left anyway? Time does fly when you're having fun. So the answer to your problem is not to mentally chip away the hours, but to find the fun and forget the time. When what you do is fun, you won't like it when it has to end, and that's a great feeling. Also, take down the TGIF signs from your office. I'm not saying weekends aren't fun. Of course they are. I look forward to them too. What I am saying is that TGIF only has true meaning to people who are bored or unthrilled with their jobs. Don't be seen as one of those, and don't be one of those. Let me say this another way. Is it possible to love what you do so much that you actually look forward to Mondays? Of course it is. Here's something that'll shock you. The Wall Street Journal ran a story a few years ago about the high number of heart attacks that happen Monday morning around 9 a.m. Gee, that's coincidentally about the same time most people go back to work from the weekend. Do you think there's a connection? Bet on it. If your work life is so miserable that it may cause a life-threatening illness or event, it's time to take control and get your life back again. It's your fault. It's not the job's fault, and it's not your heart's fault. And that's good news because it means fixing it is within your control. The only things you can't fix are those not in your control. Another office sign I'd remove is a bad day on the golf course beats a good day at the office, or fishing, or vacationing, or whatever. I know it's intended to be cute, and yes, it's kind of funny, but much truth is spoken in jest. Why reaffirm your distaste for your time spent at work by posting signage about greater pleasures outside the job? Why not just love your job as much?
In closing, if someone stopped you on the street, had only 1 minute to talk, and asked you for your best single piece of advice on how to achieve success in life, what would you say?
Well, I'd say, as long as I stay within 1 minute, can I bump it up to two pieces of advice? Here they are. One, I would take this passion thing to heart. Simply put, find your passion and live it every single day. Do what you love and the money will follow. Life is too short not to. Do you really want to lay on your deathbed and regret not having laser-focused your life on your passions? I sure don't. Two, a guy named Albert Gray at the turn of the 20th century went on a search for the common denominator of success, the one thing all successful people had in common. His discovery was this. Successful people have formed the habit of doing the things failures don't like to do, and they are willing to do them every day, even though they don't like doing them either. That's hugely profound. Take it to heart. If I only had 1 minute, that's what I'd say.
What an interesting conversation, Rick. I really do appreciate the time you've taken with me here today. I have learned a lot. I'm going to think about this a lot.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
Today we've been talking to Rick Hocek, whose singular company purpose is to provide high-octane, world-class strategic planning systems for business and life, helping Top Gun leaders, teams, and individuals to succeed on purpose most of the time rather than by accident some of the time. And I think he proved it here today, at least he did to me. Thanks again, Rick.
Thanks, David.
Hey, it's me, Rick Hocek, jumping back in. If you liked this audiobook, I just want to tell you there's a lot more where this came from. If you'll go to my website, www.soarwitheagles.com, S-O-A-R with Eagles, E-A-G-L-E-S.com, and click on Shop Store, you'll see all my digital products, audiobooks, ebooks, videobooks, and paper books too. My topics will help you be a better leader, teammate, parent, coach, and person. I have books on goal setting, winner behavior, self-motivation, leadership excellence, strategic planning, and team success. And if you're a high achiever, most any will be right for you, your coworkers, your teammates, your family, and your friends. That website again is www.soarwitheagles.com. And if you need an in-person keynote speaker, personal goal setting workshop leader, a leadership trainer, or a strategic planning facilitator, call me at 770-391-9122 or email me at Rick, R-I-C-K, at soarwitheagles.com. Thanks for listening, and today, be the best you can be.